Now, turn again to the book of Acts, chapter 15, Acts 15. When Paul and Barnabas had come back from their missionary journey preaching the gospel, God called them, sent them to preach the word, and God blessed that gospel preaching. A number, everywhere they went. Remember I told you two things happened. Riot, a lot of folks got mad because the preaching of the gospel will expose the refuge of lies. A lot of people got mad. But a lot of people, by the grace of God, there was not only a riot, but a revival. God sent that word of truth, and it was quickened by the Spirit of God to their heart. And God called them with the gospel and gave them faith to believe the Lord Jesus Christ and to love Him and to look to Him. Well, as they assembled together, it says in Acts chapter 14, verse 27 and 28, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and they abode there a long time in harmony and fellowship, preaching the gospel, rejoicing. You can imagine what's going on there. This is a Gentile. This is a gathering of Gentiles who were called by the grace of God and made new creatures in Christ. And they were so happy and so thrilled to have Paul and Barnabas there preaching the gospel and hearing all things that God had done. How He blessed the Word. How He called out His people. And there was a happy harmony and fellowship together and unity and purpose of heart. And a disturbance came. In verse 1 of Acts chapter 15, and certain men. Now, Paul clearly identifies these men here, these certain men, as Acts chapter 15, verse 1. He identifies these men as these certain men, and he identifies them as false brethren who were trying to point sinners to circumcision, ceremony, and to the law, deeds of the law. By the deeds of the law, the Scripture clearly says that by the deeds of the law shall, well, some people be justified by the deeds of the law. That's not what it says. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in God's sight. Now, you might look pretty good to another worm, but before God Almighty, in His sight, no one will be justified by the works of the law. If righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead. He died a needless death. If I can satisfy what God's law demands, Christ not need come. But my friend, those who do not obey every jot and tittle of God's law are under the curse of that law. Now that's what these men were saying here. They were saying that except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be justified. You cannot be forgiven. You cannot be redeemed. Again in verse 5, they said it was needful that these people be circumcised, these Gentiles, and then they commanded them to keep the law of Moses. Keep that law. Well, what did they do? They perverted the gospel of Christ, didn't they? They perverted the gospel by adding something to Christ. Now, is the Lord Jesus Christ enough? Is He enough in salvation? If He's all you've got everything that God determined for us to have. He's able to meet all our need of forgiveness, pardon, righteousness through and according to His grace in Christ Jesus. Beware of that ministry. Beware of that preacher that says salvation depends upon you. Beware of that man who says God done all He can do. Now it depends upon you. Beware of that ministry. Beware, because that man's a false preacher. Salvation does not depend upon the creature. Salvation is totally dependent upon the Creator. Salvation's of the Lord. Beware of that ministry that says the Lord Jesus Christ is not everything in salvation. Because this book says He is. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in Christ in Christ, we stand complete in Him. Well, Paul and Barnabas took a strong stand, verse 2 down through verse 3. Therefore, Paul and Barnabas had no small debate over this matter. They weren't going to just, well, dismiss it and say, well, you go your way, you know, you go that road of law and ceremony, and we'll go the way of grace, and we'll all end up together. No, he said, you're wrong, God is right. No small stir, big debate. They determined to go to Jerusalem and to the apostles to declare that salvation is by the grace of God. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia, Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. Regeneration by the power of God. And this caused great joy among all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, verse 4, they were received of the church and of the apostles and the elders. And here again, Paul and Barnabas declares that salvation is of the Lord. They declared all things that God had done with them. They took a strong stand and declared salvation by grace alone, faith alone, the Word of God alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. Declared all things that God had done. Salvation of the Lord. Now, verse 5, we see this same group that came down and disturbed the peace in the church in Antioch, these Pharisees. A Pharisee is one who was very self-righteous, very proud of his. The Pharisees would say, Lord, I thank God I'm not like that Gentile. You remember the way he prayed? Lord, I thank you I'm not like that man. I pray, I tithe, I give, I do all these things. That's these Pharisees. It says here they believe, but it's obvious that they did not believe the gospel of God's grace. They gave lip service to the fact and the historical fact of Jesus Christ coming, Him dying, and Him being raised again, but they did not believe that salvation was all in Christ because they said it was needful. Is it needful for a believer to keep the law of Moses? You're no more under the law, but under grace. Aren't you glad He's redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us? Well, verse 6, the apostles came together to consider this matter. Now, here's the outcome. Here's what we want to look at today. Verse 7 down through verse 11. We believe, and here's the bottom line, we believe that salvation is all of grace. All of grace. That means it's nothing I contribute. Nothing I bring. Salvation is not in my hand. It's in God's hand. Salvation is all of grace. All of God. Now here's what Peter says. Verse 7. When there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said, you know, this is a fact. You know that a good while ago, God made a choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel, and believe. Peter's bold declaration that God, first of all, is sovereign in salvation. God made a choice. You see, salvation is God's choice. His choice. Let me show you a couple of scriptures. Turn to John chapter 15. Salvation is by God's choice. God made a choice. God chose Cornelius and his house. God elected them. He said a good while ago. How long ago? Well, in eternity, God made a choice. John chapter 15, look at verse 16. He said, you have not chosen me. I've chosen you. And ordained you that you should bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, He'll give it to you. Salvation is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but it's God that shows mercy. Turn to Psalm 65. God made a choice. Peter his first point in his message was that of sovereign electing grace. God made a choice. Psalm 65, look at verse 4. Blessed is a man in whom thou choosest. You see that? Psalm 65, 4. Blessed is a man to whom God chooses and causes to approach unto him, that he may dwell in his courts. You see, we are made willing in the day of God's power. Blessed is that man whom he chooses and causes to approach unto him. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Now turn back to the book of Acts, chapter 13. Look at verse 48. You see, Peter declared that salvation was by God's choice. Election is election of grace. It's His electing love, where God in eternity set His heart on the people, chose them sovereignly, unconditionally, and gave them to the Lord Jesus. That's what this book teaches. Look what it says in Acts 13:48. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed God. Back to the text, Acts 15. So Peter said that God is God. God made a choice to call out His people with the gospel. And God made a choice in that election of grace, in the covenant of grace, to give a people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they will hear the gospel. God will cross their path with the gospel. And He will call them to Christ and give them life in Him. Now look at verse 8. And God, Acts 15, and God, who knows the heart. You know the Scripture says our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I tell you one who knows it. God knows your heart. God knows your heart. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning. God knows your heart. Now, a couple of scriptures here. Turn first of all to, I think it's Luke 16. Luke 16. Luke 16, 15. Peter declares not only that God is sovereign in salvation, Peter declares that God knows all things. He knows your heart. Luke 16, look at verse 15. Verse 14 says, the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things and derided Him. And He said to them, you are they which justify yourselves before men. God knows your heart. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. God knows your heart. Now look back to the text. God which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them life, giving them the Holy Spirit, even as He did to us. Salvation is the gift of God. God knows the heart. Now listen to this. God knows those who are His. He knows the heart of His elect. I want you to turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. And look at this. Chapter 2. He knows the heart of His elect. I don't know who the elect are. He does. He knows their heart. He knows. He said, my sheep, I know them. And they follow me. Now notice 2 Timothy 2, verse 19. 2 Timothy 2, 19. You got it? Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. He knows them. He knows the hearts of His people. Let everyone that name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Depart from seeking salvation by circumcision and the deeds of the law. That's iniquity. So God, back to the text. Peter declares the sovereignty of God in salvation. He declares that God knows His elect from all eternity. And He gives them life in Christ Jesus through the preaching of the gospel. Now look at verse 9. And he put no difference. God puts no difference between Jew and Gentile, purifying their hearts by faith. There is no difference. Now let's look at that phrase just a moment. No difference. There is no difference. Turn to Romans chapter 3. There is no difference. Is there a difference between Jew and Gentile other than their national origin? We all descended from Adam, unless you believe in evolution. Then you descended from an ape. I believe in creation. We all descended from a fallen man, Adam. Adam. And because we all descended, whether black, white, young, old, Jew, Gentile, we all descended from one man who was a fallen man, a sinful man. There it says in Romans chapter 3, therefore, Romans 3 verse 9, what then? Are we better than they? Are we better? Are the Jew better than the Gentile? No, in no wise. No way. But we have before proved both Jew and Gentile, they're all under sin. There is no difference. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Now, look down to verse 20. Romans 3, verse 20. Therefore, because we're all sinful, the Scripture has concluded all under sin. Anyone have a problem with that? We're sinners. And Adam all died. Dead in sin. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, verse 20, shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin, but it doesn't remove it. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness that's of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. What does that say right there? There is no difference. There is no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is no difference. No difference. All have sinned. And salvation is all by the grace of God. Now turn to Romans 10. There is no difference. All men are in need of salvation. It says the Scripture says that God is no respecter of person. Romans 10. Look at verse 11. Romans 10, 11. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. There is no difference. I'm going to call upon Him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm going to call. Lord, have mercy on me. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. No difference. No difference. Grace does not run in bloodlines. All have sinned. Now look back at the text again. Put no difference between us and them, verse 9. Purifying their hearts, not by law, not by circumcision. What does it say there? Purifying their hearts by faith. By believing. By believing. Salvation, my friend, is received by faith. Not doing, believing. And that's the gift of God. We all know this Scripture in Ephesians 2. All of you could quote it. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any creature should boast. Faith is a pure gift of God. It's not of works. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Not works, not law. Salvation is received by faith. By faith. Believing Him. Now I want you to turn to some Scripture. Back to the book of Romans. It is Christ that cleanses from all sin. Right? Purified their hearts by faith. What is Christ who cleanses from all sin? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. True saving faith looks to Christ for all cleansing, for all righteousness, for all forgiveness of sin. Now, turn to Romans 4. The just live by faith, purifying their hearts by faith. Not ceremony, not law, The just live by faith. You know, it says that four times in Scripture. The just live by faith. Now look at Romans 4. Look at verse 1. What shall we say then? That Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? You got it? Romans 4, 1. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God. You know, God said he was justified before the law was given. Abraham was just. God said he was justified before the law was even given. Before circumcision was even given. God said, you believe me and you're justified. Abraham believed God and it's counted to him for righteous. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. But to that man who worketh not, rest. Oh, rest. Worketh not. But believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. His faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. Now stay right there in Romans 4 and look at verse 16. It is a faith purifying their hearts by Christ. True saving faith looks to Christ, not to myself. Now look at verse 16, Romans 4. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now read on. Romans chapter 4, verse 20. It says of Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he promised he's able to perform, therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Therefore, verse 1 in chapter 5 of Romans, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and we rejoice. We rejoice. Rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now back to Acts 15. Put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Salvation is received by faith. And that's the gift of God. Now, look at verse 10. He asked this question. Acts 15:10. Now, therefore, why do you insult God? Why do you tempt God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples which neither our fathers nor we are able to bear? Now I want you to turn and read this with me. And mark this in your Bible. Turn to Galatians chapter 2. Why would you insult and disregard God's sacrifice for sin and bring believers under the curse of the law? Galatians 2, verse 21 now. Circle this in your Bible. Galatians 2:21. I want everyone to read this. This is so vital. Paul said, I don't frustrate, distort, or confuse the grace of God. If righteousness, justification, salvation come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Now, have you got that underlined? Now, you think upon that all week. You take that home with you all week. Christ came to set us free. Now stay right there in the book of Galatians. Christ came to set us free. Galatians 3:13. Why insult God to try to put believers back under the yoke of the law? Or some other man-made law? Or bylaws? God's given us His record, His testimony. Here it is. Galatians 3, verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. He's redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through, what does that say? Through faith. You see, faith honors and glorifies God. Now, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Why do you want to put a yoke of bondage upon the neck of the disciples, which our fathers nor we cannot bear? Galatians 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, Galatians 5, 1, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised... Now, this goes right back to that issue. If you be circumcised, Christ profits you nothing. Nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, if you're doing it for salvation, that he's a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, if you think you're justified by the law, you've departed from the grace of God. That's what he's saying. Are you fallen from grace? For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by, what does that say? There it is again, by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. Faith motivated by love. You see what he's saying here? This is the message of all Scripture. Now, here's the bottom line, verse 11. Acts 15, verse 11. But we believe it's through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that we shall be saved. Here's the gospel we believe and preach. Here's the gospel that this book teaches. Here's the gospel that Paul set forth. Every aspect of salvation, we believe through the grace of the Lord Jesus. Every aspect of salvation is by God's free, sovereign grace. From election to glorification. Election, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. Redemption, through His blood, according to the riches of His grace. We're justified freely by His grace. And we're glorified and regenerated by His grace. Now we could turn and read every one of those Scriptures. Romans 11, 5 and 6. Election according to grace. Redemption. Ephesians 1, 7 according to the riches of His grace. Justification. Romans 3, 24. Freely by His grace. Glorification. By His grace. Ephesians 2, 4 and 9. You see, it's all of grace. You mean creature merit enters in nowhere? None. None. It's by the grace of God alone. Every aspect of salvation is by grace. Look what it says there. Through. 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 The Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him. Of Him. By Him. And through Him. I turn and read this Scripture. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. Every aspect of salvation is by God's free and sovereign grace. Every aspect of salvation is by and through the means God has ordained. He's ordained the means. What are the ordained means? The sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. I want you to mark this in your Bible and read it again and again. He's talking here about giving. And to motivate us to give, He gives us the supreme example of giving. Verse 9. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. Do you have that marked in your Bible? Mark it. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that through, that though He was rich, rich beyond description, holiness, glory, majesty, power, yet for your sake He became poor. He impoverished Himself in the body of a man, made sin for us, that you through His poverty, through His sacrifice, through His incarnation, might be rich. Believers are rich. They're rich. I'm not a poor man. No believer is a poor man. He's a rich man. Heir of God and joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I tell you, we have all spiritual blessings in the heavenly in Christ Jesus. Now, back to Acts 15. We believe through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, through Him, we shall be saved, even as they. Every aspect of salvation is secured and certain. We shall. You see that? Salvation is not a maybe. Salvation is not conditioned upon you. Salvation is all conditioned upon Christ. We shall be saved. All that the Father hath given me, they'll come to me. Those that come to me, He says, I will in no wise cast out. Will He lose one for whom He died? At the day of the last day, will He say, there's some missing? No. They're all that the Father had given me. Here they are. I died for them. I called them. I raised them. I present them to you. How does He present them? He's able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Jude 1:24. He shall save His people from their sin. He said, I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. Now this last statement, God saves all sinners one way. We shall be saved even as they. The self-righteous, religious lost man, or the pagan idolater, God saves all sinners the same way. Grace alone, faith alone, the Word of God alone, Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. This is the message of all Scripture, the theme of the Reformation. That's what cost Martin Luther his life. And it's the heartbeat of the Gospel, my friend. It's a message that this book teaches, and it's a message that I'm determined to preach. Salvation. We believe through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in Him. Justified, glorified in Christ Jesus.